Newborn Yemeni conjoined twins have died in Sana'a due to lack of urgent medical care amid the Saudi-led blockade on the city. The situation highlights the dire humanitarian situation in the country after nearly 4 years of war. Stay tuned for tonight's debate as we look deeper into the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen.
Another funeral in Yemen. This time for two infants who lived just 14 days after their birth. The conjoined twins had separate heads but a shared torso. They are yet another victim of Saudi-led war in the country.
We were struggling. Their health was bad. We would go to doctors in the hospital and they would tell us that we need to travel abroad. There are no facilities in Yemen because it's besieged.
Doctors treating Abdul Khalik and Abdul Rahim in Sana'a had said the boys could not survive within Yemen's war-ravaged health system and needed to be taken abroad. Relatives of the twins urged Saudi Arabia and its allies to lift the blockade, but their calls fell on deaf ears. The conflict in Yemen has taken a devastating toll, particularly on the most vulnerable members of society, children.
When I was on the ground, we saw a desperate situation. It truly is the result of war in an impoverished country. I saw children dying right before my very own eyes. I was in Aden, I was in Sana'a, I was in Hodeidah, and it's heartbreaking. I saw little girls and little boys breathing their last breath because of war.
Even before the outbreak of the conflict in March 2015, Yemen faced challenges from widespread poverty, food insecurity, and lack of health services. But now more than 22 million people, and nearly all children, are in desperate need of humanitarian assistance. Saudi Arabia's daily bombardments have destroyed Yemen's infrastructure. The country's water and sanitation infrastructure has also been ravaged. Almost half of the health facilities in Yemen are not functioning, and those that are open lack essential medicines and supplies. Saudi Arabia's all-out blockade is turning the situation even worse. Vital medicines and aid can't get through.
Over 17,000 Yemeni have died because they couldn't go outside the country to get treatment. This is only because of the closure of Sana'a airport. There is now the swine flu spreading across Yemen, especially in areas controlled by the government in Sana'a. So the international community hasn't done anything to Yemen. They haven't actually helped Yemen. We see that Sana'a airport is still closed. Hodeidah port, Saudi is still deliberately blocking food and aid and medicine and fuel coming into Yemen.
The United Nations says Yemen is the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Now, as the war in the country is about to enter its fifth year, rights group and aid organization warn that Yemen is on the brink of famine, and as the UN puts it, could be the worst in 100 years if the conflict drags on.
Well, on tonight's debate, we've got journalist and political commentator Richard Millett joining us from London, and also journalist and commentator Said Mohsen Abbas, who's with us also from the British capital. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Millett. The conjoined twin boys that were born in Yemen, who are in urgent need of medical treatment abroad, have died because of a Saudi blockade preventing air travel to and from the country. What does this say about the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen at the moment?
Well, I mean, the sympathy go out to the parents, obviously, into the it's just another statistic, unfortunately, in this horrific war that's been happening over the last 4 or 5 years. As you say in your report, disease, famine, lack of medical care, medical equipment, food, people at starvation levels. It's just once again, we see this ongoing war between Iran and Saudi Arabia, in effect, Iran supporting the Houthis, the coalition trying to restore the democratically, to an extent, elected president coup by the Houthis. So what do you once again, we're seeing the people caught in the middle, as we're seeing in many countries in the Middle East, the innocent people caught in the middle, and they're the ones who are suffering, whilst unfortunately the regimes in Saudi Arabia and Iran just look on from afar. And if somehow these two great peoples could get together, sort it out, and come together with some sort of valid peace process without constantly going to capitals and having peace negotiations and then nothing happening, and then we see more suffering, because every time there's a peace negotiation, they agree, and then actually nothing takes place after the peace negotiation, and we just see more and more people dying and suffering.
Let's bring in Mr. Said Mohsen Abbas. Mr. Abbas, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the comments made by Mr. Millet and also about the dire humanitarian situation in Yemen.
Well, firstly, Mr. Millet is absolutely incorrect and being very frugal with the truth when he talks about a war which is there in Yemen between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Far from it. This war is about effectively Western imperialist interests in the Middle East, just as the rest of the wars are. It's also about Zionists who are along with the imperialists in there, making sure that that region stays as conflicted and balkanized as possible. So the first clarity is this is not a war that is just regional. This is a war which is instigated, financed, supported, and serves the purposes of a much bigger game from the Western imperialists themselves. And Saudi Arabia is simply a puppet which is being told to go in and do this this dirty business of making 22 million people virtually food insecure, on the cusp of the biggest famine that the world has ever seen, and individual lives being shattered daily, whether it's through Saudi coalition bombings of funerals or weddings or hospitals, all of which are done with the aid of the US reconnaissance and the intelligence services from the West. So this is not a war that Saudi Arabia is conducting on its own. It's a war it's conducting on behalf of its masters.
Mr. Millet, your opinions with Mr. Abbas are on the opposite sides of the spectrum. How would you like to respond to Mr. Abbas?
It's tragic, really, that, I mean, this is the reason, this gentleman that I'm, you know, you've got on the program tonight is part of the reason why there's such tragedy in the Middle East, blaming it on, you know, this word Zionist. And it's tragic, really, because as we're discussing now, the real people are the people caught in the middle. You know, us discussing here is nothing compared to the real tragedy. I'm trying to look at this, you know, objectively, to say, look, there's blame on both sides, Iran and the Saudi Arabia regimes. You know, they're the ones who can stop all this suffering. They could withdraw their forces, part in huge humanitarian aid, medical supplies and food. And it's really so simply resolved. But both sides, because of their religious divides, and their both sides want to totally control their parts of the Middle East. And we you know, you hear this word Zionist, which is just laughable and tragic and sad, really, that this is the kind of rhetoric we hear. It's just like, it's like someone who's been living on another planet. I know, you know, he might have his ideas, but it's just not an objective way to look at the tragedy that's befalling us.
Mr. Abbas, this war, it has destroyed much of Yemen's infrastructure and led to famine, the worst famine to occur in 100 years. That's according to the United Nations, in addition to other epidemics in the impoverished country as well. Yet we're still witnessing international inaction to relieve the suffering of the Yemeni people. My question is, why is this war, why has it been dragged out for so long?
Because the neo-imperialists want it to be dragged out. That's their purpose. If they weren't going to get a speedy victory, which they didn't, because there was actually a genuine people's resistance, a people's opposition to the puppet regimes which were bolstered by Saudi Arabia as a proxy to American and other Western powers, as well as, and I'll repeat, Israel's interests as well. The fact of the matter remains that actually the puppet regimes which were running Yemen, which were looting its resources, handing them over to Saudi Arabia, were using Yemen as a strategic sort of military depot for foreign powers as well, has been objected to by the ordinary masses of the Yemeni people. And the Ansarullah movement represents those people. What's happened is, in return, the Saudis have been lured into bombing men, women, and children indiscriminately. Only this week, we know that within 72 hours, 574 bombings took place, violations of the so-called ceasefire. Within 72, that's literally within 72 hours, you know. 59 other regions were bombed across different provinces in Yemen in that 72 hours. All of this is aided and abetted by the international system, which is loaded against the oppressed. It's oppressors who utilize the UN. The UN has been pathetic in terms of its on-the-ground actions and its push to try and create any kind of peace. We basically do not have an arbitration system around the globe now. We've got oppressive bullies like the US and Israel who indiscriminately bomb other people's countries and invade them, just as they're doing in Venezuela, or they did in Syria, or they want to do in Lebanon. This is what we're up against, is imperialist expansionism, which is fueled, as I'll repeat, fueled by Zio-imperialist interests.
Mr. Millett, observers, peace brokers, rights groups, and et cetera, time and again have stated that there is no military solution to the Yemen crisis, yet the war has been dragging on for 4 years now. Your thoughts on the issue?
Well, it has been dragging on. I don't know what Israel's got to do with this. Mr. Abbas is absolutely obsessed with Israel. Zionists, Jews, my God, he must be, he must be go to bed having nightmares about us, people like
no,
me.
No, I like Jews. I don't like Zionist imperialism.
Well, I think, when you use the word Zionist imperialism, then, Zionism is Israel and Israel is Jewish. And so we know what you mean. We know what you think. We know, the Jewish people, Mr. Abbas, we've come up against people like you over, hundreds and hundreds of years, and we know what you are. So you don't need to explain yourself to me. But the tragedy really
just,
is...
Just that, as we know who you are.
People like Mr. Abbas are the people who really have no care. He doesn't really care about the situation of the people of Yemen. He just wants to attack Israel. He just wants to attack America. He just wants to attack Saudi Arabia.
For the root causes of the problem, not the symptoms.
This is the ideology of these people like Mr. Abbas. Is the ideology that's really killing these people, because he hasn't got a care in the world for these people. He just wants to attack Israel, Saudi Arabia, and America. He doesn't even, defends probably Hezbollah, probably defends terrorists like Hamas, probably defends the terrorist Iranian regime, all to propagate his ideology that he's the victim. He's on the side of the victim and the oppressed. And, poor little him, poor little Iran, poor little Hezbollah, poor little Houthis. These people, the Houthis, are a terrorist organization. They've got weapons, they've got arms, they've been bombing Saudi Arabia. They're trying to kill as many people as possible. They've got blood on their hands. They're not withdrawing from Hodeida. They're not withdrawing anywhere to allow humanitarian aid and humanitarian support, medical aid and food into the country. Iran is implicated in this just as much as Saudi Arabia, probably more, because Iran is implicated in every country in the Middle East. It controls Lebanon. It controls Syria. It controls Yemen. It wants to, it supports Hamas. It calls for the destruction of the only Jewish state in the world. It's, Iran is to blame for most of the bloodshed in the Middle East, unfortunately.
Okay, Mr. Abbas, on the notion of the Houthis having blood on their hands, which Mr. Millett just said, we have to remind Mr. Millett and our viewers that the Houthis have been subject to six onslaughts against for coming from the Saudis over the past, decade or so. Give us your thoughts on what Mr. Millett said about the Houthis and also about what he believes as Iran being implicated in all of the crises that are taking place in the region.
Well, of course, the Zion Imperialist School, which Mr. Richard Miller has graduated from, basically would like no resistance. What they want to do is to basically be oppressors and everybody quietly acquiesce to whatever they say and whatever they want and whatever resources they require and whatever boundaries, national borders they create. They, in order to do that, they will create sectarian conflicts. They will create Arab-Persian, if you like, tropes and mantras. They will go in and buy off corrupt individuals within those countries and give them the power and the arms and the weapons to control the people. And when the people squeak or even bother to stand up and say anything, they're slammed into prisons. Saudi Arabia has 30,000 political prisoners of conscience in its jails, wallowing with no recourse to real, if you like, justice at all. Saudi Arabia has bought $13.2 billion of arms and weapons from the Americans, the French, and the British primarily, and they are using those weapons and those arms on civilians indiscriminately. This is something which even the UN, etc., have all acknowledged, that the weapon sales constitute a violation of all human rights international laws, yet the Western powers continue to arm Saudi Arabia to bomb the Yemenis. The net result is cholera, and because what they're doing is they're actually bombing the infrastructure. So there are only 50% of the hospitals now operating in Yemen. What have hospitals got to do with a war? Why would Saudi Arabia target hospitals of all things? Why are there only 50% of them operating now? The cholera crisis that has resulted as a result has been the biggest known on the planet. The famine is going to be the biggest known on the planet. 22 million people don't know where they'll get their next food from. And all the Saudis are doing is going into another country uninvited and bombing it to smithereens because the Americans and the Israelis want to maintain their control and hold of the Middle East, which they've been sapping of oil. Oil and gold and frankincense and every other resource possible. Well, it's going to stop because the resistance is up against these people now, and it is showing a very strong, if you like, response. Whether it's across Syria or whether it's across Lebanon or Yemen or Bahrain, you're not going to get people lying down to the Zio imperialist agenda. Right. It's simply not going to happen.
Mr. Millett, an Amnesty International report recently stated that Saudi Arabia was transferring American weapons to Al-Qaeda terrorists and other militias in Yemen. Now, that report also questioned whether Riyadh was responsible enough to be allowed to continue buying the sophisticated arms and fighting hardware. These reports and many others like it surely won't halt the billion-dollar arms deals that the U.S. has with the likes of Saudi Arabia, will they?
Well, you know, I agree. I'm not supporting Saudi Arabia here, and I think you're right to an extent that there's a lot of concern amongst the British public as well, not just Amnesty, about the support, the weapons that are being supplied to Saudi Arabia and whether these potentially are going to be used in the right way. And there is obviously great concern in the British Parliament, amongst the British people, about the disaster in Yemen and whether we are supplying arms that are being directly used there, and we just hope that the government is having, you know, secret or private words with Saudi Arabia to make sure that everything's being used in the correct way. I mean, Saudi Arabia has to be armed. I mean, every country has to be armed to an extent. I think there's only one country in the world that hasn't got an army. Saudi Arabia is under attack. Iran threatens Saudi Arabia. The Houthis have bombed Saudi Arabia from Yemen, and this is all supplied by Iran. I'm not supporting Iran here, but then, as I've repeatedly said, you've got to look at I'm not supporting Saudi here, but you've got to look at Iran as well, and you've got to realize that Iran and Saudi Arabia are, you know, once it's unfortunately, this is going back centuries. We've got a Shia and a Sunni divide, and this is perfectly represented in Yemen, where it's virtually, I think, 55% Sunni, 45% Shia, or maybe the other way around. Forgive me if it's the other way around. But it's virtually 50-50 split. And this is why Yemen's split, because there's two countries, two huge powers, Iran and Saudi Arabia, who are trying, muscling into this small country, and they're trying to tear it apart for their own political reasons. And as I said, the people are caught in the middle. It's basically down to Iran and Saudi. You can blame Israel. You can blame, you know, this chap, this Mr. Abbas is absolutely obsessed. He must have nightmares about Jews. But you can blame us, you know, blame us all you like.
I have no nightmares. I have no nightmares, I assure you.
All right. Mr. Abbas, I'm going to give the floor to you. Mr. Millett just made some references there. I'm sure you'd like to respond to them.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to ask Mr. Miller, where is his documentary evidence that Iran has supplied a single weapon to the Yemeni Ansarullah? There is no record. The Americans are on record with $8.2 billion worth of arms supplied by the likes of Raytheon and by the likes of Lockheed Martin with the latest, most sophisticated weaponry. I mean, just to give you an idea, US-made Tau anti-tank missiles, MRAPs, the mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, the Oshkosh armored vehicles, assault rifles, all sold by the Americans directly to these people. And then what happens to these weapons? Oh, lo and behold, Al-Qaeda, which is supported by another one of the American, the Zio-imperialist lackeys in the Middle East, give these weapons willy-nilly to Al-Qaeda types in Yemen, who are then just distributing it across all of the, if you like, the militias and the forces, which are supposedly the very ones with the Americans are supposed to be fighting the war on terror. So okay. What's going on here? Are the Americans actually supplying weapons to the UAE to give to Al-Qaeda? I mean, what kind of mixed up world are we in?
Apologies, Mr. Abbas, we're running short of time. Hopefully we'll get another chance to continue this debate. Journalist and political commentator Richard Millett joining us from London, and also journalist and commentator Said Mohsen Abbas also joining us from the British capital. Gentlemen, thank you for contributing to the program, and also special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us here on tonight's debate. Join us same time, same place tomorrow night for another edition of Press TV's Debate. Good night, everybody.